This is View from the Bridge, an official podcast for the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is the 8th of October 2012, and my name is Patrick Smith. How's it going, guys? Joining me today are two guys who are no strangers to the podcast. First of all, Davey McGimsey. Davey, welcome back, mate. You all right?
Hiya, Patrick.
How's things?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good man, good man. And then, of course, a guy who actually gave us a bit of criticism last week in regards to how we were talking. So he's come on to talk about the conference system. Gary Jackson, how are you doing, Jago?
Yes, Patrick. It was constructive criticism more than anything else.
Constructive, well, yes. So, but you know, if you, it's the story that's going to run all through the season, apparently.
Well, so I hear, but I've yet to read about it anywhere, to be honest with you. So.
Gentlemen, another weekend, another 4 points for the Belfast Giants, and a game on Saturday night against the Nottingham Panthers. That maybe a few people thought that, considering how we played in the NIC, was going to be more of a test now that that the Panthers had brought in Anthony Stewart, the NHL player, but a 3-2 shutout, a 3-2 shutout. No, that's not right. A 3-2 shootout victory was good to have, Davey.
Yeah, always never gets old beating the Panthers, to be fair. Always a good result to take 2 points off them. Slightly disappointed that we'll give them a point back, but at the same time, getting 2 points at home's got to be your first thing you want to do.
The goals were well taken by the Giants. I think that they came out pretty strong.
Yeah, well, they absolutely did. The first goal from the Giants was just a piece of outstanding skill from Fournier to sort of put K-Wall back off his balance and then slam it home. But it was a real funny game. There was periods of it had real high tempo, and there was periods that just absolutely nothing happened. But you know, I was hoping for a bit more of a hard game from the Giants, a bit more physicality from them. But hey ho, good win.
Clark and Stewart were the goals for the Giants, and Ling and Bruce Graham for the Nottingham Panthers. Jago, a bit of talk on KOTG at the minute about Craig Kowalski and him being probably one of, because both netminders got Man of the Match awards. Mm-hmm. And where Craig Kowalski ranks in the bastion of Nottingham Panthers netminders, how do you rate him?
I mean, there's no denying that he is a good netminder. I've put my views on the kingdom that he's maybe not Jesus in netminder terms, you know.
Well, I think only Jesus was Jesus.
Well, you know, he was in the Jewish Hockey League there. He was very good. But yeah, I mean,
he was brilliant for Nazareth Neptunes.
he's been there for a number of years now, and Mr. Nielsen does like to build his team around him. So, you know, it helps that he sort of fills half the net, I have to say, you know.
Yeah. Davey, bit of chat about how now that Corey Nielsen's gone behind the bench with his injury, that the Panthers seem to have tightened up their D, despite losing probably one of the better D men that they have. Did it look that way?
Well, you're always going to get more offense from, or indeed offense from Corey Nielsen than your defense. You know, he's a typical, you know. He always strikes me as a guy that sometimes puts himself before the team. You know, it's all about how many points he's going to get or how his own personal performance is going to be rather than what the team does. And that's sometimes, and it could be a large portion of why, you know, as I say before, by Christmas, their title challenge is usually over. But they certainly were tight. We're hitting everything. They were back checking very physically on Saturday night. And, definitely in their own zone, they seem to be playing a different style than what I've seen from them the last few times I've seen them play.
And Jordan Fox came away with an injury, with a bit of a collision with Greg Stewart.
Well, I would love to see that video again, but I'm not going to say anything on here that somebody's going to jump on, hopefully. But when I saw the incident, first time, full speed, I thought it was a very naughty hit and possibly with a bit of use of the knee in there.
Use of the knee, interesting. I know that a lot of the Panthers fans aren't pretty happy, and the fact that the whole, Max Cabrera incident of reviewing things has been talked about, and whether you should cite players here, there, and everywhere. Jacko, what do you think about that? Is it, should we be looking into incidents like that after the game?
I believe we should. You know, we in the UK, we have a system of one ref and two linesmen. The linesmen obviously do get a wee bit more input into the game than maybe they do in North America. But at the same time, you know, there is one chief there, you know, so I think video reviews afterwards are a good thing. And it might help eliminate some of the dirty hits that we've seen over the last number of years. I can think of a couple spring to mind straight away, but certainly the one in Cardiff, having viewed it now a couple of times, you know, Brebeur came in, he had nothing else in his mind apart from hitting Matheson. Okay, Matheson's head was down and he was stretching for the puck, but at the end of the day, there was plenty of time for Brebeur to change his course or slow down or something, avoid the hit, you know, and he just didn't bother. He just went into him. So, I mean, the referees, they did discuss that on that, in that particular incident, and they've done what they thought, you know, based on what they could see. Now, obviously, we have had the benefit, as they always talk about in Sky Sports and the football, we've had the benefit of watching it, you know, 100 times, okay, only from one angle. But, you know, I think it's a good thing for the league.
Davey?
Agreed, totally. I think that there's been, as Jacko says, there's been a number of dubious hits over the last number of years. One I can think of was Voth hit Tate.
Yeah.
With the shoulder. And it's got to be up to players. Players know when they're going to do that. Voth didn't need hit Tate. But Breyer didn't need to hit Matheson. You know, as I say, there was time for him to make a different play. He's left with the elbow, he's caught him high, and the guy's out indefinitely. So, you know, if someone's going to miss a lot of hockey because of carelessness on a player's behalf, it has to be looked at off the ice.
Oh, yes, I'll go stay with that. Davey, staying with you, it's 10 years, more or less, nearly to the day, since an infamous game against the Panthers in the Odyssey. So to take the win away on Saturday night was pretty sweet.
Yeah, just I was writing the article for Top Shelf last week. It was one of those articles where you're actually really enjoying when you're writing it. You know, it was bringing back such vivid memories. And at the end of the day, Saturday night, Sandrock would have been the only player still on the ice that was partaking out of either squad. And for him to come up in the shootout and score the winner, after being man of the match 10 years ago, it was, I'm sure it was quite sweet for him.
Jacko, what are your recollections of that match 10 years ago?
Pure anger. Pure anger.
Through beer goggles, like myself?
Well, I was a bit younger then, but yeah. I think it's fair to say the beer goggles were well and truly on, but I think, you know, a big incident like that, you know, the crowd was just electric. I remember, like, more than one player, or more than one fan wanted to get on the ice as well, you know. Unfortunately, one got a wee bit too close, didn't they, in the end?
Absolutely. Well, Davey, you mentioned Robbie Sandrock there and having been involved way back when. I got a chance, middle of last week, to chat to Rob Sandrock, and, well.
I began by asking him whether he thought the city had changed much since his last time here.
I get asked that question all the time, and it's changed a lot. It's been 9 years, and the downtown area has changed so much. I go down there and I'm lost now. It's so much nicer downtown now. You have Victoria Square, and there's people downtown all the time now. It's really changed, and it's really nice to go downtown now.
Cool. The when you arrived in Dave Whistle's team back in 2002, it was your first time playing a European team. Like you say, you've come back now about 9 years on as a seasoned veteran of European hockey, spent a long time in Germany and Austria and Croatia. What do you see as the highlights of your time in that Europe, or has any one team stuck out?
To be honest with you, my first year over here when I was here, it's always stood out in my head as one of my best years. Everybody on the team was great. The organization here was great. The city was great. We won the championship when I was here. There was a lot of good things that happened in my first year over in Europe. And not to take anything away from Germany or Croatia or Austria, anything like that, but just the whole atmosphere here, it's really my favorite spot that I've been in since coming over to Europe.
The when you were playing in Central Europe, there's an opinion over here that hockey doesn't possess the physical edge that a lot of the UK hockey fans love. That it's, you know, it's more of a skillful based game in Central Europe. Is that a fallacy, or do they prefer their skillful play to their tough physical play?
Certain teams play certain ways. I think if you have a North American coach over in Europe, they tend to bring players over that are a little more physical, but also have that skill. There is a really high skill level over there. But as for the fighting and stuff like that, it doesn't happen very much in Europe. If you fight, you get kicked out of the game right away. Mm-hmm. And I think if you get three fights, you have to miss your next game as well. So the fighting aspect isn't there in Europe, but the hard-paced, hard-hitting hockey is getting more and more over in Europe now. So it's the same, I'd say, here for hitting and that sort of thing. But the only thing that's different is when guys are dropping the gloves and actually fighting.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel your own game's changed since your last stint in Belfast?
It's changed a lot. I don't know if it's for the better or for the worse, but as you get older, you start to learn the little more important aspects of the game, your defensive zone, you're not jumping up into the rush as much and stuff like that. And I think that comes with age too. I mean, I'm not as fast as I once was. So that probably has something to do with it as well. But as far as my game, I still try to just keep it simple now, make good first passes, and when I get the chance to shoot the puck on that.
There's only been 8 games so far with the Giants this season, but given that the last time you played here, the team was made up of just pure imported players, do you see a real difference in the standard of the hockey from your last time here?
To be honest, I can't really give a good, solid answer on that. It's been 9 years.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to say. I mean, when I was over here the first time, there was a lot of top quality players that played their whole careers in the AHL, and a few guys in the league that had played their whole career in the NHL mostly. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't very many Brits at all in the league at that time. What I can say now of the Brits is I'm really impressed with their skill level and their work ethic and that sort of thing. So coming here, it was a nice surprise to see how they have become in the EIHL now, I guess you'd call it, not the Super League, because back then there was not very many Brits playing at all. So,
When you came over to that in 2002, did you have a plan to try to make a career in European hockey, or is it something you just considered year on year and it's just stuck here, or you just depend on where the contracts are available?
Yeah, that's basically it. It depends on which teams offer you what, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When I was here, I was 23 years old, 24 years old, and it was my first opportunity to come over to Europe, so I couldn't pass that up.
Yeah.
And then after my year here, the opportunity came to follow Dave Whistle to Germany, and I had a great relationship with Dave, and unfortunately it didn't work out for him in Germany, but I was able to carry on with my career over there.
Mm-hmm. Now you're back in Belfast. You're spending a lot of your time studying now. You're what, 34? Is this part of your preparation for a future life away from hockey, or would you always want to be part of the game?
I think I always want to be part of the game. I mean, everything I have in life is because of the game, and I can't turn my back on it like that. It's all I know. I've been playing professional hockey for 14 years.
Yeah.
So I can't turn my back on hockey, and it's probably the only thing that I absolutely love doing, whether it's playing in the summer. I help coach kids and stuff like that. So I would love to stay in the game if I can. If not, I might be on the end of the shovel.
The means to study as part of the contract is something that's becoming very common in the Elite League and a lot of the teams. Is it part of a major draw for your return to Belfast?
It was, absolutely. You know, for a person like me to have this opportunity, it's I had I had to take it. When I was offered it, I talked with my parents and friends back home, friends in old businesses and that sort of thing, and they said you'd be stupid not to do it. Mm-hmm. And so once it was offered, I just jumped at it and said, yeah, absolutely. And the fact that I'd been here 9 years ago, played here, enjoyed my time here, and there was all factors of wanting to come back to Belfast.
Excellent. The in a couple of weeks' time, the Giants are traveling out to Germany to Landshut for the Continental Cup. And, of course, I suppose on ice-wise, you'd be the only connection now that would go back to that initial time we were in the Continental Cup. What are your memories of that time and the trip to Lugano?
The trip to Lugano, that was an adventure for everybody, I think. it was a great time, you know. We had that plane that the owner had chartered and mm-hmm. the fans on it and all that. And the very first memory I remember was we landed in Milan. And I think everybody went on lunch break or something because we had to sit at the airport for about 3 hours waiting for our luggage to get off the plane. That's the first memory I remember about the Lugano trip. But it was a great experience. I mean, we got to play some really top-level hockey teams there, and it's going to be a great experience for the guys that are their first year in Europe, guys mm-hmm. that haven't been to Germany before. It's just going to be a great experience all around for everybody.
We've spent a bit of time out that way, especially when you played in Munich. I suppose you've played at Landshut before in that league. What do you think the Giants fans can expect from a trip to Germany?
It's going to be good hockey. It's going to the German team, they won the second league last year in Germany. They'll have a good team. They'll have a fast team. The rink isn't the nicest, which probably will help them and not help mm-hmm. us. But we can't really use that as an excuse. We just have to go there and play as hard as we can and see what happens. I mean, I think each team there is going to be fairly even, and anybody will have a chance to move on to the next stage of this tournament.
And the fans out there can get pretty raucous.
Oh yeah, they're loud and they're singing the whole time. It'll be fairly cold in that rink. It's cold even in the summer, I think. But their fans, they'll be cheering and banging on the drums and singing the whole time. So it'll be a good time for everybody.
How's your German, Rob? Will you be the official translator when people go over there?
I don't know about the official translator, but I have enough to get by. You know, I can order food and beer and that sort of thing. All the important stuff.
Important stuff, absolutely. This weekend's first home game against the Nottingham Panthers this season, and I think a lot of fans harken back to when the Panthers were here in 2002, and a bit of a brawl that happened after the final buzzer. With Paxton yeah. Schulte and Barry Nightcar. Do you have many recollections of that? Because it seems to have really stuck in the minds of a lot of Giants fans.
Yeah, I don't. I wasn't stuck in the minds of the fans for my fist, that's for sure. I left that to Packer and Cruiser and all the other guys. But yeah, that was. We had some good battles with Nottingham 9 years ago. And, you know, it's the same this year. Maybe not to the extent of the fights and that sort of thing, but that could happen. You never know. But the top team in the league, we want to prove to them that we are too, and they don't back down and we don't back down. So it's going to be a good good game on Saturday night.
Given that you spent so long in Europe, a lot of these guys, when you've joined the team, maybe just come to the league for, you know, a lot of these guys, when they come, they've played with or against various other players in the last few years in North America. For you yourself, maybe when you came over, it was initially the same. But coming now from Europe, outside of the likes of the familiar faces of you've got there of Todd Kelman and maybe Rob Stewart, are the rest of the guys new to you, or would you have encountered any of the other guys before?
No, all the guys are new. Mark, played against him in junior years ago. Mm-hmm. Would have been about 15 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And then I played against him last year. We had an exhibition game against his team in Munich. And but other than that, everybody on the team, I didn't know anybody on the team. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I knew Wally from when he was working at Dundonald. So I knew him a little bit, not on a friendly basis, but I knew him a little bit, and that was basically it. I knew Todd, I knew Stewie, and that's basically it. There's some fans that that I've emailed back and forth with a few times over the years, but other than that, everybody is a new face for me.
Has Oxo caught up with you yet?
What's that, sorry?
Has Oxo caught up with you yet?
Not yet. We've emailed back and forth. I'm trying to get him down to the rink, but it just hasn't worked out yet. So.
Yeah, I know that's one fan who's glad to see you back indeed. The how do you feel the team are gelling on the ice?
It's going good. You know, it's always tough when you have this many new players on a team, and it takes some time, but we've managed to find a way to win games and take points even in overtime, losses and shootout, that sort of thing. But we're starting to come together quite well now, and I think it's showing each game. We're getting more in tune with each other, more in sync, and hopefully the wins just keep coming.
Mm. And then last couple of questions would be, of the games so far, I guess Sheffield and Nottingham have been the sternest test for the team?
I would say so, yeah. But even then, like our first weekend in Nottingham, we were it was only our second and third game of the year, so we were still trying to feel each other out. They've made some changes as well, so they're going to be a stronger team. But I think we're a stronger team since that first weekend as well. Mm-hmm. And same with Sheffield, you know, we went in there, we had a lousy second period, mm-hmm. and it almost cost us the game. We were able to come back and push the game to overtime and eventually lost in a shootout. But each team is improving every week, and we are no different. And we're going to just keep moving forward and not looking back, and we'll see who comes out on top at the end of the season.
And do you think fans can have big expectations out of this team?
What's that, sorry?
You think the fans could have big expectations out of this team?
I think so. I think if they don't have big expectations out of us, that something's not right. I mean,
yeah.
The team won the league last year, and there's no reason why this team can't do it again. The only reason why we wouldn't be able to do it is because we beat ourselves. We have a very, very strong group of guys, and everybody is playing for each other on our team. You know, nobody cares who scores. We just want to get the win, and that's all that matters to this team. We're very, very goal-oriented, and right now the goal is to win as many games as we can.
Excellent. Well, speaking as one of the old fogies, as I remember you back in 2002, and I've probably bored many who weren't around in the Giants at that time with talk of a thunderous blue line slapshot. It's good to know that it isn't just nostalgia. And now you're back in Belfast, considering last time you topped the scoring charts as a defenseman. A few of us were saying we're pleased to see that you've not lost very much of that scoring touch. So.
Yeah, well, it's scoring for a D-man, a lot of it has to do with the forwards doing their job in front of the net, screening the goalie and making it tough for the goalie to see the puck. So, you know, it's everybody says it's my shot, but if the forwards aren't in front of the net, most goalies are going to save it at this level of hockey. So I'll keep shooting. Hopefully they keep going in, and hopefully the fans can keep talking about my shot.
Well, we can ask for nothing more. Thanks very much, Mint.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again to Rob. Gentlemen, Rob Sandrock, pleased that he's back, Davey?
Delighted he's back. You know, remember just after the Ryder Cup victory there at the weekend, Graham McDowell was talking about, or Graham McDowell, whatever you prefer, was talking about Rory McIlroy and saying, you know, he's a Rolls Royce, and very much the same with Sandrock. You know, the guy's better with age. You know, he's came back a better player than he left here, what, 8 or 9 years ago. To see him going coast to coast and laying the puck off on Saturday night for that goal, and then coming up big in the shootout to score the only goal in the shootout, he's just pure class.
Jago, that slap shot still there, astoundingly.
It's amazing. I mean, as you were saying, it's easy to be nostalgic, but when it's right there in front of you again, you know, 9, 10 years later, and it's still every bit as hard, and if anything, it's more accurate. You know, he's just an exciting player to watch at the end of the day.
Do you feel he's matured as a player? Do you see a different game to him? Now, he says himself, you know, he doesn't have the speed, and he's had to develop other sides of his game. Is that really apparent, or can we remember as well way back to what he was like?
I don't remember him ever being Rocket Rob Sandrock, you know. I do remember at times he maybe pinched a bit early, or he maybe was going for the goal when different things are going on, you know, that have left us having to back check then very quickly. Mm-hmm. But so far this season, he seems more defensively sound. Seems to be defense first and then, you know, joining the rush rather than leading it a lot this year. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that's his job at the end of the day. While it's very exciting watching him wind up an old slapper, it's...
Excuse
me. We all like to wind up an old slapper.
Yes. So yeah, while it's very exciting to watch him doing that, you know, at the end of the day, his job primarily is to prevent the Panthers or the Blaze or whoever from getting the puck into our net. So,
yeah. What do you think, David, we can expect from Sandrock? Do you think he can keep this sort of streak going and be probably one of our top players this season?
Absolutely. Undoubtedly. You know, what Robbie Sandrock's going to bring the Giants now more than anything is experience. And talking about, you know, whether he has the legs or not now, players of a certain age don't always have to rely on their speed when they're in the right place. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, if not more, he's in the right place on the ice to receive the puck. He's in the right place to get the puck back. You know, Todd Kelman, when he was coming towards the end of his playing career, was exactly the same. He'd lost a yard of pace, but his positioning was just second to none. Mm-hmm. He had that amazing poke check.
Yeah.
Sandrock's got a good stick, and, you know, he hasn't lost 1 mile an hour off his slap shot. It's just as good as we all remember it was.
Mm. And Sandrock was in the heat of the battle on Sunday night when we went to Hull, a game I got to go to myself, where we defeated the Stingrays 4-1. Went one down to Tanaka, and who a few minutes earlier had been put in his backside by Stephen Murphy, so he squeezed the puck in between post and pad in a way that Mike Menard suffered in Hull many years ago. But the Giants recovered well to win 4-1, and after the game I got to chat with Doug Christensen.
It's a physical enough game when you come to Hull.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, Sylvain Cloutier definitely battles. He competes and leads by example. And, you know, Keith fought twice, Stewart fought, but there was a lot of scrums. It was a 3-hour hockey game. So there was definitely a bit of animosity, but I thought Kiefer really got us going with that first fight, and we were able to get the 2 points, which is the important thing.
There seemed to be a lot of battles right across the team.
Well, definitely. And, you know, one of the things that we have a team that can do, you can kind of play any way you want. And, we've got Loiter and Kiefer and Stewart, guys who are really not afraid to stick their nose in there. But our D really battled and competed as well. Sam Roberts, Will Colbert, everybody. So very, very happy with the overall performance. We've got a lot to work on. But where we are today, I'm okay with it.
Went behind sort of unexpectedly and a bit of a goal that seemed to come out of nowhere. But fought well to get back.
You know what? I wouldn't say it's unexpected. This is a really tricky place to play. One of the nice part about the conference system is we only have to come here twice. We had a difficult travel schedule today, and the guys, you know, we didn't really show up the first 10 minutes, but fell down 1-0. We dug our heels in, and the rest of the way, I thought, especially the start of the period, the way that we did in the second, we never looked back.
These games, these cross-conference games, seem to be key in the league title.
They're paramount. You can't lose. There has to be a mentality that wherever you go, whenever you're going to play them, you have to come out with the 2 points, because it is so difficult every single night in our conference. Coventry, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham. It feels like you're playing them every single night, and you know you have to make sure that you're trying to get to a point total and you're trying to get to a win total, and these are the games that you have to win, because you're not going to be able to go undefeated in your own conference. And so you have to make sure that you get the results in places like Hull, like Dundee, like Fife.
Yeah, another big weekend next weekend, especially traveling back over here to take on the Steelers.
Well, we've got the same travel schedule next weekend, but you know, our first and foremost priority is Cardiff. Cardiff comes up with 2 huge wins. They've got a 4-point weekend this weekend. They've righted the ship a little bit. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Jared Adams. I'm sure that there's going to be a little bit of an incentive on their end to come to our building and after the success we had in there. So it'll be a great Saturday night in Belfast.
And one last thing, is Greg Stewart didn't return after his tussle. Is there anything to worry about there?
No, he's fine. He just had a cut on his forehead. That's it. He's patched up. He'll be back. No problem.
Thanks very much, Wayne.
Pleasure.
Gents, I mentioned to Christian there about how these games against cross-conference games against like Hull and you know, Brayhead, and when it comes to the Elite League title are really, really key. What are your opinions on that, Davey?
Well, one of the reasons this, you know, cross conference was brought in was to, you know, try and make it a bit closer, you know, for these other teams. But like on Sunday night, for example, Hull, there were 700 people at the game. Mm. So, you know, if arguably the best team in the country coming to Hull is still only going to produce 700 people in through the door, is it really doing what it's supposed to be doing? Well, it seems to have been a pretty good game by all accounts, you know, fast, hard hitting. A lot of penalties in there.
Mm. It certainly was. Actually, 700 shocks me, because I wouldn't have said there were 700 through that door. It looked like a really, really unfortunately sparse crowd. Goals from Fournier, Colbert, Lloyd and Clark were, well, I have to say, of all of those goals, Colbert's was the best for me, but not for any reason other than a few, no more than a couple of minutes earlier, Fournier on a backhand seemed to have scored, and by all accounts from both Hull fans and people looking on from above in the bar, said that it actually did go through the net. Fournier was incensed and got 10 minutes misconduct for his for what he had to say to Andrew Carson, but it did draw a lot of mirth and merriment and a bit of abuse from the Hull fans that were around the Giants bench. And so when the Giants took their next shot on goal and missed, they all started screaming at the bench, it was a goal, it was a goal, it was a goal, only for them to be on their feet mocking and jeering when Colbert hit the back of the net, forcing them all to sit down very quietly, which I think is something that can always be very enjoyable to see. Only because I know I'd probably be in their shoes if the boot was on the other foot. You know what I mean? But taking a 4-1 away win in the likes of Hull, well, does it have to be expected, Jago?
I think it does. The whole conference system, I'm begrudged to talk about it at all, but the whole conference system is designed to make closer games for your Hulls, your Fifes, your Edinburghs, your Dundees. It's not for them to be competing with the Giants, the Panthers, and the Steelers. So basically, you expect when you go to Hull or when Hull come to Belfast that we're going to win them. We're going to beat them, you know. Now, the surprise packages have been Fife, you know. Everybody expected Brayhead to run away with that Gardner conference, and Fife have come up and are saying, well, not this year, boys. And going to Fife now is starting to worry me a wee bit. I know we got a victory there sort of last weekend. And thankfully now, because of the conference system, we only have to go there one more time in the league, you know. But I do think that we have a right to expect to win the majority of our games against the Gardner conference.
Divi?
Yeah, and as Jago says, you know, Fife have actually only played one game in their conference. They've won a lot of games in the Challenge, played most of their games in the Challenge Cup. Dundee are 3-for-3, you know, they're, Brayhead aren't getting it all their own way. Obviously, we'll probably talk later about some of the signings they've made and some of the players they've let go, but, you know, it's still not a level playing field. The teams in the Earhart Conference are still much, much better than the teams in the Gardner Conference. And in fact, within the Earhart Conference, you know, there's the Steelers, the Giants, and the Panthers, and then really the rest are making up the numbers at the minute.
Definitely. One comment that came away from Hull from a lot of their fans was that the Giants were probably the dirtiest team that they'd seen all season. Are we a dirty team, David?
Hope so.
Yeah, you think so? Do we need to be?
No, I say I hope so.
We hope so?
No. See, there's a different level of whenever it's your team getting the stuff done against them, you see dirtiness, for want of a better word, on a different level. Whenever your team's doing it, you think it's great. Whenever it's against you, you're not so keen on it. I love to see, I don't want to see anything too much. Like, I don't want high sticks and I don't want spearing and one for Jimmy Squeaker. I don't want butt ending. But, you know, within the laws of the game, hard hitting, even if it crosses the line a little bit, I'm all for that. I'm just not for, you know, the old sticks that used to happen.
Jago, it seems to be you always see, like, you've been to as many away games, and it always seems to be that away from home, the Giants play a totally different game. So maybe some people who haven't been to the away games don't see that slightly dirtier side of the Giants that doesn't always transpire at home.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, it happens in all sports, really. You remember, if we do another football analogy, Jose Mourinho used to say, it's the world against us. And it made Chelsea play better. And it's very much that whenever you go to an away game, you know, there's very few Giants fans travel to most of the games. You know, you obviously have the big ones, the doubleheaders and Panthers and the Edinburghs, etc., things like that. But generally, you know, Hull on a Sunday night, how many Giants fans were there? I'd say perhaps you may have been the only one.
No, there was actually, at top of my head, say around 12, I'd
right.
say, which was actually quite large, but yeah, there were about 12, I'd say.
Yeah, so we don't travel en masse to games like that. So the whole arena now, okay, there was only 700 in Hull, but you go to the likes of Cardiff or Sheffield midweek or something like that. You know, the whole arena is against the Giants. So, of course, you know, I'm going to stick up for my buddy. I'm going to stick up for my buddy. And, you know, when it gets a bit of fire in your belly and you come out and you do play dirty. There is no two ways about it. But it's good to see. It's good, gritty, in-your-face hockey. And it's what you need to get a road win.
Before we move on, guys, I'd just like to ask you who in the Giants team, so, because the first time I've got to chat to you, you know, after a few games into the season. Davey, you first, who's impressed you in the Giants squad? Has there been any one standout player?
Do you know who I like? We've talked about Robbie Sandrock, obviously,
yes.
on D, Will Cobert has stood out for me as someone that's going to do really, really well for us this season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Adam Keefe put his body on the line again. Damon Raycroft scored a few goals, but Fournier, for his hands, he's just, he's incredible.
Yeah. I agree with that, Jago.
Well, a lot of my hockey this season has been watching it on Sky and from the highlights reels. I'm looking at the stats here. He's not one of the top goal scorers or point scorers in our team, but for me, Gregory Stewart, just some of the touches and the passes he's been making recently is just been amazing. He's wearing the number 17 shirt, and I think it was Sarah that said, you know, maybe he's channeling something from a bygone era.
From that 17 shirt. I have to say, you know, I think Stewart was fantastic. He was wound up. I think Jeff Smith and Hull was really winding up the Giants side, and a comment was made by a few people in the Giants block that he needed a smack, and it was Greg Stewart who actually stood up and actually provided that. The fights were really nothing to write home about, but they all seemed to excite the whole fans. But yeah, I think you have to agree with both Stewart and especially Fournier. I think Fournier really impressed me in Hull. Really, like you say, Davey with his hands, and he had the backhanded shot that went through the net that got him the 10-minute misconduct. Had it counted as a goal, it would have been one of the goals of the year so far. It was absolutely superb. But, yeah.
He's one of those players, you know, you can tell a quality player by the space he's got on the ice. Mm-hmm. And he always seems to receive the puck in space. He's good at finding himself, and good players only need a yard. That's an old imperial measurement for you kids out there. I'm not sure what it is in meters, so I can't even, you know. But, you know, Scott Champagne's done very well in the games against the Panthers, ironically, which is good to see. One player that I'm not worried about because, you know, he's proved his quality over the last few seasons. Craig Peacock has had quite a slow start to the season.
One player you mentioned, Davey, before the season began was Matt Toe. He's had a very slow start. He doesn't seem to have really kicked in the gear as maybe some of us were hoping he would.
Doesn't seem they've got the ice time that he probably was hoping he would, but he's kind of in there as that sort of 10th forward. It's a very, very hard position to, you know, break that 9th forward is a hard slot to get into.
Mm. And one person, Jago, is maybe Gareth Roberts, who seems to have all but vanished at this moment in time.
Well, I don't think he'd really expect to get huge ice time. I'd like to see the likes of Roberts and Toe being used in Challenge Cup games. I might open a can of worm there, is the Challenge Cup below us or whatever, but, there's the sort of games players like Roberts and Toe should be getting a bit of experience, getting blooded, if you wish.
Roberts seems to have gone back to that sort of role where he just plays at home. You know, he doesn't travel with the team. I don't know whether that's down to personal things that he can't get the time off work, because I would imagine that he's probably still a full-time worker. But, you know, I thought he had been signed on a pro contract, but I can't remember whether that was the previous season or not. Yeah. You know, he doesn't seem to have travelled to any of the away games. He's not getting too much ice time at home. Matt, so, you know, looking down our team, he's pretty much, apart from Adam Keefe, the only right winger in the squad.
Yeah.
You know, so there's obviously opportunities there for him to get some time, but while we're going well, we're top of the league, we're top of standings, you know, you've just got to trust the coach.
He certainly had quite a bit of ice time in Hull, but it was towards the second half of the game, once we were starting to build up on the goals. But, yeah, like you said, I think your comment, Davey, was that you hoped the Matto would be the next Craig Peacock. I think there's still the opportunity for that to happen. It's unfortunate he hasn't really. Yeah, I don't think he's even picked up a point yet. But I'm hoping for better things as the time comes on.
I was just going to say, I'm looking at the stats here. He's 10 games, no goals, no assists, no points in two penalty minutes. That's what he's, that's what his numbers say at the minute, you know, so it is a wee bit worrying, but it's early doors yet.
Absolutely. The one question I'll just quickly ask before I move on is something we were discussing in Hull. With, because I think early doors in the game, it looked like we were trying to sit back and we weren't playing maybe as well in the early part of the first period and maybe going into the second. And the discussion was, do you think that any of these players ahead of our trip to Germany in a couple of weeks are sitting back in case they get injured?
No. I think it's more a case of game the night before, you've probably haven't had a good night's sleep. You probably haven't had a good day's rest. You know, whether or not they got a morning skate the day of the whole game, doubtful. You know, so it takes you in any sport, it takes you a wee bit to get warmed into the game. So I would say more first period is just rustiness, just getting ready. And then, as you say, we kind of dominated from the halfway on. So nothing really to worry about. I don't see any of these players that are going to take, I don't believe that they're going to think that this Continental Cup is a shop window for them. It's just another game. And hopefully we get through the first round in Lanzhut because I'm going skiing with you, Paddy, in Bolzano.
I think a ski trip to Bolzano is in order. Jacko, you're going in a couple of weeks' time. You looking forward to it?
Oh, mate, I can't wait. I think I'm in the same boat as yourself. I missed Lugano through exams and one thing and another. And, you know, everybody coming back with all the stories, the pictures. And I was green with envy. Or, sorry, I was teal with envy.
You had a tealing. Anyway. The team seems pretty well gelled. They've been well gelled together now. Unlike a few other teams, we'll have a quick chat here about there have been three specific signings in the last week or so that have caught everybody's eye. And they're the three, two confirmed NHLers and one as yet unconfirmed part-time NHLer. Anthony Stewart at Nottingham. Today, the announcement of Drew Miller up in Brayhead. And then Tom, what's his name? Did I say his name was?
Sestito.
Tom Sestito, for the Flyers, who's just tweeted that he's off to England to play for the Sheffield Steelers. Davey, I think I know what the answer to this is. Who's the best of the three?
Drew Miller.
Yeah, without doubt.
All right, we're letting the Red Wings bias come in there. But, you know, what we saw of Anthony Stewart on Saturday night, and from reading different bits and dispatches, this is a guy who's came here because he wants to keep himself just ticking over. And that's exactly all he's doing. All he is doing is ticking over. I don't know whether he's getting a wage, whether he's just here for a holiday and to see a bit of Europe while he hopes this labor dispute sorted out in America. He just coasted on Saturday night. Drew Miller, I don't know Anthony Stewart too well as a player because don't see too many Canes games. I see every Detroit game more or less. Drew Miller is a player who's all energy, all heart. He's gonna, if he comes and plays his game for the Brayhead clan, then he's gonna be a good player in this league. Sestito, he's not really an NHL player, you know. Dave Sims is gonna dress it up that he's the, you know, it's the second coming here, but it's not, you know, he's not even a particularly good AHL player.
Yeah. Jago, what's your opinion on these guys?
Quite disappointed, to be honest with you. The previous lockout, a number of years ago, we had players coming over who were slightly, the NHL, you know, there's hundreds of players that play in the NHL, you know, and it's almost like three or four different leagues of players, if you know what I mean, at different levels. Mm-hmm. And I think the last time we had a lockout, we had a higher quality, a higher caliber of NHL lockout scab coming over. And this year, you know, I'm just looking at Tom Sestito's here, his stats. He's averaging 5 penalty minutes every single game. So,
That's maybe the sort of player that some of the Steelers fans wanted. You know, that sort of, I think they've been going to places and getting bullied, like going to Cardiff and getting bullied and going to Coventry and having Olsen bully them. And they needed somebody with that bit of grit. And if this guy's been doing that sort of job in the AHL and the NHL, surely he can do the job here.
But at the same time, I mean, I remember one of the big rivalries we had back in the previous NHL lockout was, Mel Mangler Anglestead and Eric Cairns of the London Racers. And, you know, there was a whole big thing about how Eric Cairns wouldn't fight because of his insurance premium for being over here. Now, obviously, that ended up being a load of rubbish because they had three fights in the first period. But
and yeah, I think Cairns...
Didn't he leave of his own free will or something?
Yes, you can see his leaving party on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Yes, yes, he said, I don't like this league anymore. I'm going home.
Yeah. Sort of lost the plot in the way he went.
Yeah. Just a quick factoid. Tom Sestito has a brother called Tim.
Tim Sestito?
His parents obviously didn't seem to have much imagination there. he's just for information, Tim Sestito. Tim is in the New Jersey Devils system at the moment.
Are you reading Wikipedia?
Sorry?
Are you reading Wikipedia?
No, I'm on Hockey Database. Ah. Just thought it was weird.
Davey, where does this stop with the NHLers? Do you think that this is the start of them coming in, or you know, or are we just going to get one or two of these? I wouldn't want to say lower level ones because I don't think Miller's a lower level NHLer. But you know what I mean.
It'll be interesting to keep our eye on the likes of Coventry, who last season were passing the buckets because they were going out of, you know, they were going extinct. And Dave Sims quite publicly and Paul Thompson, you know, publicly begging basically for money on the internet. And all of a sudden, you know, they can sign very good rosters and hopefully they've got their house back in order. But, you know, this whole rebranding of the league and the conferences was due to financial pressures coming on different franchises. And, you know, these players aren't here for free, I would imagine. It's going to take large sponsorship to cover. For example, Henrik Zetterberg today signed in Switzerland.
Mm.
And he turned down a deal from Lugano. And they were going to pay him £2,000 a month plus his £50,000 insurance premium.
Yeah.
And he turned out to go to Zug. But he's a premium player, to be fair. So, you know, it just depends on a level how much money they're going to be looking. You know, there's over 100 players have already left the NHL and signed in Europe. There's only three of them have ended up, well, two and a half have ended up in the UK so far. So it's hard to know, you know, don't have my crystal ball out.
I think it's a fair reflection on the standard of the league as well. When you look at what players are going to what countries to play on what teams, Jacko, you only have to look at Ice Bayern Berlin, who this week have picked up Claude Giroux and Danny Briere to play in their team. Two top quality NHL players, whereas we're being left with other players, two and a half other players. You can't turn around and say that these are bad players. They're not bad players. These are guys who play in the top league in the world. I guess they're just sort of a lower tier of these top players.
Sorry, yeah. Just to jump in there. When I say two and a half, I'm only saying two and a half because it's not been made official yet. He's still going to be a decent player. This is a guy, you know,
yeah.
He played how many games in the NHL last year? Jacko, if you've got his stats up there.
14. He played 14 last year. He's played 27 in total.
He had 7 fighting majors last year. You know, he's a guy, 15 fighting majors through the two leagues. He's a guy who's going to come here and do a bit of boxing. You know, he's Dave Sims' wet dream here. He's going to go and he's going to fight. He's going to get people in through the door.
As long as he gets on with Ryan Finnerty, but that's another story.
This is another thing. As I said, a lot of these guys come to the UK and they totally lose their edge. They think they suddenly score a couple of points and think they're a player. Mm. Credit to nobody liked them. Well, not too many people liked them. But Sean McMorrow knew he was never going to come here and score 20 goals. So night in, night out, he went out and did the job that he was assigned to do. A lot of these other players come here and suddenly think they're the next best thing.
Yeah.
And don't fight at all. Get stuck in.
Jago.
Yes,
do you think the Giants need a player like this, or do we just have to, you know, it's all dependent on how our team's gelled. I don't assume us to go, well, everybody else is doing it, we need to keep up with the Joneses, but if one becomes available, are we wrong to not look at it?
The original question was, do we need one? And the answer is quite simply no. You know, one NHL player is not going to make or break our season. Now, the second part of your question was, if one was to, say, approach Doug and say, listen, mate, I've nothing to do for the next couple of months, how about I come over and play with you guys? Well, then certainly it's something that we should look at, and it's something that Doug will have to look at very closely. Is it going to upset the balance of our team? Can we afford it? I mean, because we can't afford to pay £50,000 insurance premiums. I don't care what anyone says. You start spending that money, then you know you might as well just kiss goodbye to the Giants' long-term future.
Drew Miller's and Anthony Stewart, they're $1 million-a-season players. That's what their cap hit is at the minute, $1 million, yeah, more or less. They're not going to be coming cheap. Obviously, Zetterberg's £50,000 insurance premium reflects a salary. Probably he's probably 6.5 to 7.5 million, somewhere in that. I'm guessing off the top of my head, but the top wings players were in that bracket. Like, Nick Lidstrom was on 6.7 or something. So there wasn't too many people that were getting paid more than him. So they're coming with really, really high premiums. But, you know, at the minute with Mathesonite injured, don't know how long term concussions are a really funny injury. You know, if there's an opportunity just to plug in somebody there, I think that's going to be the only way Doug is genuinely going to look. Listening to his interview last week and this week, I don't think he's going to, you know, he's going to take on someone that's going to upset our team. He's going to take on someone if we need someone at that time.
Mm. Very true. Very true. Well, gentlemen, this weekend coming, we've got our last weekend of competition before we actually go to Germany, and that's against the Cardiff Devils at home and the Sheffield Steelers away. Cardiff Devils at home will be the first time. I think Max Berbrere's back for that game.
It's funny how things work out, isn't it? I mean, last year we had a lengthy suspension and the player came back against the team he got suspended for. You know, it's worked out that way a couple of times, I think.
Do you think there'll be any repercussion?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
The bigger problem with whether or not, you know, there'd be repercussions, Berbrere isn't really known for, you know, his fighting. So, you know, while players have to answer for their what they've done, the only person that really should be standing up to Berbrere is Matheson.
Yeah.
Say, look, you injured me. I'm not happy about it. Let's go. Somebody else shouldn't be coming in. Somebody at when Matheson was hit and down on the ice, if a player on the ice took exception to that and went and got stuck in the Berbrere, then absolutely fair enough. But this lining up against what isn't really a fighter, although for his size, he should be able to handle himself. I don't think that's on where somebody's going to line up beside him and say, hey, you hurt my mate 6 weeks ago. You know, I'm going to knock you out here. I think if, what somebody should be doing is taking little Diddy man and smashing him about a bit.
What's your opinion to him, Davey? Do you think he's all talk and no trousers?
Well, I like all the chipping and stuff, and, yeah, you know, chirping on the internet, and it brings something for the fans while the games aren't going on. You know, people are watching his Twitter feed, especially some of our Giants fans who seem to do nothing but watch Twitter feeds and get up fairly early in the morning to start, you know, game threads. You know who I'm talking about, Jester. But, you know, the whole social media thing is good fun. And, him and Simsy are having a back and forward one all season. And look, the guy's not going to be able to back himself up. He went hiding when the Giants were in Cardiff last week. He's going to pick his spots to fight.
Jago, you've got a bit of an affinity with the Devils. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Well, actually, I'm looking forward to work, but, real life aside, it's Giants first. It always has been. And, it's Giants first. It always has been. And at the end of the day, I don't think your man Diddy is all he thinks. Well, not that he thinks he is, that what he's saying he is. I think he knows fine rightly that that's a bit of a sideshow. Mm. It was quite interesting. I watched the Sky highlight show there for the most recent one, so it would be last weekend's games. Mm-hmm. And Dave Sims eyeballed the camera and called him out, basically, you know, saying, you know, what are you doing? You're coming here bigging yourself up, making out that you're this big American Hockey League tough man, and so far you've fought a couple of Brit kids and that's it. Mm. He then backed it up by saying, you know, Didio Mitrie is going to be on the Sky show in the next couple of weeks, so it'll be interesting to watch that show and see how he justifies you know, his performances so far.
I don't know why that's going to go between him and Simsy. I don't think it'd be bearable to watch.
I think Simsy's got his nose out of joint because there's somebody that's taking the gloss off him.
I agree with that. I think you're absolutely right.
You be onto something there.
Yeah. The Davey, the Steelers. Speaking of Simsy, the Steelers aren't really the sort of title challengers this early in the season that everybody thought they would be.
Don't know where every... I said on the Kingdom, you can go back and look through the threads. You know, I said at the start when some people were going, you know, it's Sheffield's to lose. Where were they getting this from? You know, until it was seen what the teams were going to do on the ice, we're never going to know. And a team, to be fair, a team coached by Ryan Finnerty is always going to go one of two ways because it's his way or the highway. And, you know, he's already proved this season he's gassed players that weren't exactly doing badly. It's hard to know what way the Steelers are going to go. The next two weeks are probably going to be key for them.
It seems to be that Finnerty does have that ego, as they say, it's his way or the highway, and you saw that last season, but the strange Colt King affair so close to the end of the season. But with this guy, Sestino coming in, it could, if he's ready for Sunday, it could bring on a very interesting game. Diego?
Yeah. I don't know how fresh he's going to be coming over from Philly, but I mean, if Satito's coming in, he's going to be fueled mostly by adrenaline, and the quickest way to get expel that adrenaline is in a bit of a scrap or a bit of a rough play, you know. So it could spice things up a wee bit, but I think you look down the Giants roster, and obviously Kiefer's our go-to guy when it comes to the rough stuff. And Adam Keefe's a very, very intelligent player. And he'll know the adrenaline's flowing on this guy coming in from Philly. Mm. And he's just, him and Darryl Lloyd will chirp at him all night, wind him up, and probably end up getting him chucked out of the game.
I wouldn't be surprised. Davey, one of the things that a few Steelers fans are saying is that they don't really have a top goal scorer or anybody to put pressure on Jeff Legui, who seems to be getting quite complacent. Can a player like Legui become complacent? Can he just think to himself, I'm the big dog here?
Well, he was never a player that struck me as being a Billy Big Boots, you know. I always thought he was a bit of a team, you know. He's still at a point of game. I don't see how he can be regarded as complacent. Who did they get rid of? It was Corey Pecker, wasn't it?
Corey Pecker, yeah.
Like, he was the guy that was brought in to score the goals. He hadn't scored. He was doing all right at 10 points in 8 games, but, you know, all but one of them was an assist. You know, he'd only one goal through those 8 games. At the same time, Colin Shields, probably on big money, isn't putting the puck in the net. It has to be down to the chemistry of the team. There's that team is packed with talent, but they're not doing it right now. So that's where Ryan Finnerty has to earn his money. He just can't keep gassing players.
Absolutely.
Although saying that, Corey Pecker was maybe, you know, one that deserved to go. Who knows what goes on behind closed doors?
It'll be an interesting weekend considering these are two games within the Earhart Conference, and you know, it's so tight in that conference now that you can't really afford to be dropping any points.
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned before, you know, you want to win 100% of your crossover games with the Gardner Conference, but them points only go towards the league, I'm led to believe.
Yeah.
So to win your conference, you have to beat everyone in the conference and forget about the Gardner Conference. So, yeah, I mean...
Well, we sit third in the conference with top of the league.
Yeah. So moving on, apart from that point...
Here, Paddy, could you give the readers a quick overview there as to how the conference league system works?
Do we really have to get into this again? Your games within the conference stay within the conference, but also count to the league. The games outside of the conference only go towards the leagues, and the Challenge Cup games go just to the Challenge Cup. But, right, I'll tell
some
you this.
Some Challenge Cup games count towards the league as well.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing that's annoying me, because today I was trying to update the actual league table on kingdomofthegiants.com, and the actual league table on the Elite League site is rubbish, because it shows you the conference, it shows you both the conferences. The one on the front page shows you the league standings, but the league table, when you dig into the actual standings, the main page for it, to give you all the stats, is a combination of every single game that they've played, cup and league. So mm-hmm. it's saying that the Giants have played 10 games overall, which they have. But what table is that? That's a nothing table. So it doesn't give you any sort of information other than maybe just form.
I think basically what's going to happen, right, at the end of the season, the Giants are going to win a piece of crystalware based on whatever mathematical format that John Elliott can work out. And City Beat are going to run down to Belfast Trophies and buy it. And Joe Ferguson's going to present it. I think that's what's going to happen.
Sounds very, very familiar.
You know, it's a lockout year in the NHL. We've got crossover games. We've got Challenge Cup. I mean, it's all fallen into place.
Absolutely.
You heard it here first, folks.
Well, gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us this weekend's game. You can catch the Cardiff game with Wayne and Gary, which we all enjoy watching on Giants TV Live. I think he came up talking about two Robbie Sandrock slappers. I don't know what he was basically talking about.
Robbie Sandrock's getting a bit of a bad reputation, isn't he?
Yeah.
You started it?
GiantsLive.tv for the game against Cardiff. And I don't think there's actually any radio coverage of the Steelers games anymore, because I don't think Steel Night Live does that anymore, because the Steelers have asked them not to. But I'm sure there'll be coverage on Twitter and IH update and all that stuff. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Sorry if I insulted anybody.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Only banter. Oh. And it's still and worth mentioning, although Paddy said about the Giants TV guys, they're doing a season ticket now for anyone that's interested. £100 for 15 games. Gets you 2.5 games free. Well worth value.
Oh, well worth the value.
Davey, just before we finish up, can you watch that Giants Live stuff on an iPad?
I think we'll have to get Dave Laurie onto the show soon, but I believe there is technology that's going to be able to be doing that soon. Just right. Not for last Saturday night.
Just
not last Saturday night. No, definitely not last Saturday night. Yeah, yes. But wherever you are this weekend, I hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Bye. It's the truth in your eyes.